Okay, you can admit it. It's just me and you here. How many of you sneak a peek at your daily horoscope? If you do, you're not alone. The mystical services market, another way of saying astrology and psychic readings, is a $2 billion a year business, and it's hugely popular among millennials. And while astrology is not scientifically proven, its widespread popularity cannot be denied. For more on this appeal, we're joined by Shani Nicholas, Oprah Magazine's resident astrologer and author of the new book, You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So, Shani, New York Magazine recently ran an article about astrology having a moment, and the subheadline said, in a demographic desperate for reassurance, a customized cosmos is a valuable proposition. Why do you think astrology is having such a moment right now, especially among millennials and Gen Zers?
I think that astrology is the perfect content for memes.
Yeah.
And so it gets
shared a lot.
Yeah, it's very shareable. And human beings really want to know about ourselves. I want you to tell me something where I'm like, oh my God, that's so me. I relate to that. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a meme with like all of the signs on it, let's say, then you can like tag all your friends and everyone can kind of be dragged and loved up a little bit at the same time.
Yep.
And because we're living in such a social media saturated moment, I feel that astrology is like this perfect fit of self-reflection, humor, and identification.
I remember my mom was really into it and had the books when I was a little kid. But we're seeing that today now, and it's a little bit more than meme culture. I mean, that might be really pushing it along and we're seeing it more.
Yeah.
But there's a real sense that millennials and Gen Zers are holding on to astrology. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, like, is your mom a baby boomer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the baby boomers came out of a time, they were part of a culture change that was really breaking away from this fake nuclear family facade and very, like, white supremacist and very classist and very, like, you fit into the mold. And the baby boomers came along and they were like, no, we need to break this whole thing open. And part of that was, of course, the Vietnam War and the really the revealing of government and what it was really about. And
during
iteration,
that time,
it was a
the Nixon era. There was a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, and it was a huge kind of like crack in the psyche. Like, oh, we can't trust all the things that they've been telling us to trust, and maybe we knew that all along, but it's really a departure. And so astrology was huge back then. If we would have had the internet then, we would have been seeing, I think, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But because we didn't have that kind of mass communication, you would have seen, though, a huge spike in the amount of books that were written out of that time.
Yeah.
And that got published in the decades after.
And tying that to today, I mean,
yeah.
They really do mirror each other.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The baby boomers and the millennials and what we're dealing with today.
Yeah. And the okay boomer.
Yeah.
That's all part of it. It's like that now that millennials are, you know, like tearing away from the boomer generation. And so it's the next iteration of that. We're trying to evolve ourselves. We're trying to clarify our purpose and understand what are the biggest emergencies to tend to. And people really need to know, is there some reason for this?
And this is one way.
Systems like astrology can be like, well, this is the time frame and this is what's happening in this time frame. And this time frame happened also, you know, at this other cycle of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can look back and see that time frame versus this time frame, we can kind of get a context for what's happening. And that can help to quell our panic and maybe move towards solution in the moment.
Speaking
That's
of,
my hope for it.
I mean, it sounds great. I mean, and it really, you brought up this idea of being able to connect different times and to bring this all together. I read that until the 17th century, astrology was actually considered a scholarly tradition. So lots of folks studied it along with medicine and other things.
Yeah, I really love that you brought that up. Thank you so much. It's like I'm always trying to tell people that I don't care if astrology is something that you like or believe in or think has any kind of weight to it. But the fact of the matter is that it was astrology and astronomy weren't separate.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine and astrology in a lot of places weren't separate. And so we were always in relationship with the sky. we were never not in relationship with the sky because we had to know what was the sun doing, what right. season was it.
Yeah.
If we were, when we were nomadic, we had to know how to travel.
Absolutely.
And we used the sky to guide us. Mm-hmm. So we were dependent on the sky and its movement. So it only makes sense that we would make meaning out of the planets that shifted as the sky shifted, as the season shifted. And we would be tracking that because maybe it was trying to tell us something.
Astrology is often referred to as pseudoscience. I'm curious what you think of that. Is it fair to call it that?
Astrology comes out of a scientific roots, and because we are studying the movements of planetary bodies over time and coming up with facts about them, it's not to say that there's nothing scientific about astrology, but also, obviously, it's speaking a symbolic language, and so it's not necessarily quantifiable in the same way as which we would study other things. And then we have to get into the conversation of what is science and empirical knowledge, and what are we looking at, and what are our biases, and all of that stuff.
Right.
So,
right,
and people can call it whatever they want.
Well, let's talk a little bit about how you got started. So, in your book, you say the first time you encountered astrology was the first time you remember feeling seen. What do you mean by that?
Well, I grew up in a situation where I didn't really feel that acknowledged by the adults that were raising me or around. They were pretty preoccupied with a lot of different things. And the first time I went to an astrologer, I felt like it was the first time that someone slowed down enough to give me an accurate reflection of myself. And it was a stranger.
Mm.
And there was no reason why she should know the things that she did about me. But it was the first human being that took that much time and had that much precision and that much skill identifying the core parts of me.
Yeah.
And it was shocking and revelatory.
You describe the potential for astrology that it can foster radical self-acceptance. What does that mean?
I think radical self-acceptance is the ability to accept our hopes and dreams and desires and talents as they are so that we can work on perfecting them, making them better, getting more integrated with our skills so that we can apply them to the world and be of use in the best way possible. I've sat in front of so many people and read their chart and said, oh, wow, you really should do A, B, and C, or doing A, B, and C, does that interest you? And they'll be like, yeah, how do you know? And I never thought I could do that. Like, most people seem to have this buried desire that they feel they need permission to accept.
To be themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. You've been doing this for quite a while, but it's something that, based on reading your book, I've learned about you, that it's something that you're always practicing and perfecting and learning more about yourself even as you do the practice with other folks. Mm. Can you talk about that for a moment? Just this idea that we are always evolving as human beings and we're always in search of finding our true selves. And no matter how long we live, we're always going to be finding out things about ourselves.
Yeah, hopefully. I think that's what makes life worth living. And I think when you look at astrological cycles, you can see that, you know, there's certain planetary cycles that are like 12-year cycles, like Jupiter has a 12-year cycle, Saturn has a 30-year cycle. And I think seeing our lives in those cyclical patterns can be really helpful because in the moment, in the minutia, we can sometimes feel like, wow, nothing ever changes. Yeah. I am in the same. You know, when our stuff comes up, we're like, I'm still dealing with this thing. Yeah. This is never changing. But if we can use astrology as a way to give us perspective and just like the time, you know, if we can just look back on our life and remember, oh, yeah, actually 7 years ago, I was really struggling with this. And now it's still hard, but I've actually made a ton of progress. And astrology will tell you where in your life to focus on making progress with that issue next.
Hmm.
And so it can be I think it's a really good friend.
A really good friend.
Yeah.
Astrology is a really good friend.
Yeah, I think it can be like, wow, you did really great in this like year cycle.
So as we're entering 2020, everyone's thinking about they're starting anew. This is my year. How would you recommend folks use astrology as they move through the year and build intention on what they want for the year?
I hope that people find themselves in it, and in the finding of themselves feel a little healed and motivated to just get on with life. Like to use those skills and those talents and those definitive marks that have been placed upon them, and just go forth with some confidence.
Chani Nicholas, Oprah Magazine's resident astrologer and author of the new book, You Were Born for This, Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a joy.